Tell them all they have. Let's take a look at what Ruff Cook says about soul pollution in Essay 9. Share my screen. And here, Rabbi Cook writes, Hazuama nishmati. There's such a thing as soul pollution. Just like we have air pollution, noise pollution, water pollution, we have all kinds of pollution. So Rabbi Cook adds a new kind. Soul pollution. Just like it can enter an individual's soul, and it can affect and impact this soul and turn it from a soul that's doing good and turn it into a soul that's actually doing bad. That's like an amazing understanding of what happens to the soul. And let's try to just understand what Rav Kook is saying here. The rabbis say an interesting thing. It says that every time you do a mitzvah, you create an angel. And that angel remains and helps you do another mitzvah. And it encourages you to do another mitzvah. And the Kabbalists explain that's what it means, that the reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. And that the mechanism that brings that about is you do a mitzvah, you get an angel. And then that angel just is a cheerleader and ushers you on to do another mitzvah. And then you get two angels. And then, like, you're on a roll and you just keep doing mitzvahs and mitzvahs. Now, it also can end up the other way into a spiral nosedive, and that you do an aveira and then you get one of these evil devil angels. And then this evil devil angel is just going to prod you and say, oh, that was so much fun. Why don't we sin again? And then he's going to get you into a nosedive into doing bad. And this is what Rabbi Cook calls soul pollution, that when someone does something bad, so he pollutes his soul. And as a result, it's hard for him to do good after that. And what soul pollution can do is it can bring people to the lowest of the lowest of degrees. I know I worked with adolescents for many years, and I saw an interesting, I don't know what it is, an interesting development of their psyche. And what happens is that adolescents, they just don't know what to do with all their hormones. And they just can't contain them within a religious format. And they have all kinds of problems. And as a result of this, their self-image is lowered to such an extent that they say, well, you know, I've done these atrocities against God. And because I've done and perpetrated these atrocities, so I simply am off the slate, and God in no way would ever have anything to do with me because I'm such an evil person who has done such evil things. And then after that happens, they just kind of break off and they say, well, if there is no God and there's no way of having a relationship with God, then that immediately leads into some kind of a nosedive, and people just kind of crash, and they say, "Okay, well, there's no God, or there's no way for me to have any connection with God, so I'm just into sin," and just one thing leads to another, and that's the psychological path that I saw many adolescents take, as they started off with simple soul pollution that ended up with the entire life destruction. So anyway, Rabbi Cook is saying that this soul pollution is not only an individual phenomenon, but it's mirrored in the soul of the Jewish people and the soul of all of the nations. Kafi yicholali itkavetz b'toch ha'nefesh ha'klalit shel u'ma shleima. He says that soul pollution, what it does to an individual, and it just gets him unrailed and off track and into this spiraling nosedive to oblivion, that same kind of pollution can affect an entire nation. And La'azot otah l'umah shefalah b'risha, and it can bring them into being a evil, lowly, abased nation. Bizuyav and nigalah, just disgusting and despicable. But ofen shiruyah la'avor min ha'olam, to such an extent that it should be worthy of being obliterated from the world. Now that's like really, whoa. That's like really, I guess that it doesn't work today in the lexicon of politically correct statements that Rabbi Cook is talking about genocide of an entire nation that has just woohoo gone off track to such an extent. But we do have that concept of Amalek, and it seems that this is Rabbi Cook's analysis of what's happening to Amalek, that they were affected by soul pollution to such an extent that there's just no room for them to be here anymore. And that as long as they're in the world, the beauty of the world cannot expand. And there'll just always be something bad. And it's kind of like weeding out a weed from the garden in order to allow the plants that you want to live happily ever after. Now, Rabbi Cook in this first paragraph is giving an interesting symmetry in saying that just like an individual can suffer from soul pollution that can get him unrailed, similarly, an entire nation can have the same effect, and that they can suffer from soul pollution that'll just unrail them and put them into such a despicable place in the world that there's just no room. And that if you really want a nice room with rose gardens and you want a nice world, it's just not going to work. And you just cannot keep this nation with this soul pollution in the world. So here Rabbi Cook is saying that divine purity, when it illuminates the heart properly, it purifies the heart. And this is the solution for soul pollution. All of the Greenpeace are all looking for solutions how to clean up the oceans and the air and all of the different forms of pollution that exist. And they're trying to figure out, well, how do we reverse what we started? So here Rabbi Cook has a solution for soul pollution, and he's saying that soul pollution is reverted by bringing in divine purity. And that when divine purity enters the heart, then it's able to wash away divine pollution. And this is the concept of tshuva. There is no such thing as a person who is born in sin. And as a result, there is no atonement. And there can be atonement, and you can do, like as soon as you turn around, get your show together, immediately on the spot, you're going to start getting divine purity and it's going to start purifying your heart. And then instead of having all of this negative dross and pollution in your heart, you're going to have all kinds of purifying divine factors. An individual soul, as a result of doing tshuva, so he's able to receive the divine purification, and as a result of receiving this new batch of holiness and of valor, so it's able to chase away all of the pollution and clean itself. And what happens if a person does not get his show together? So he's going to, instead of having a pure divine light illuminate his soul, he's going to have this ichi pollution that is going to affect his soul. And that it's a direct function in relation to how much divine light you let in. That's going to decide how much positive energy you're going to have in your soul. And that if you don't let in the divine light, then you're going to end up with soul pollution that's going to give you all kinds of darkness and inhibit and overshadow the divine light. So this is regarding an individual. Roy Cook is saying this because he's getting to the nation, and he's going to explain that this is also a national concept. Gam neshama shel ha'umah kula kishezorem betocha zorem chai shel zerem chai shel ofat Elohim arei hi bria chazaka v'tohora v'sheshchina mistaleket mikirba miyad hi mitnavenet v'holechet v'tumata mitgala b'kirba. He says the same is true with the nation, that as long as it's associated with God, so then it's healthy and then it's strong and it's pure. And soon as the Shekhinah leaves, immediately it just starts to wither and become defiled. Also, it's very interesting that if you look throughout history, whenever the Jews were ousted from a country, mostly in Europe, and immediately afterwards, the great empire fell. And that was the end of the empire after they were mean to the Jews. There's an interesting letter of Rav Tzvi Yehuda that he wrote on Black Saturday when the British mandate government were looking for Menachem Begin, and they decided on Shabbos to disturb the Shabbat of all of the Jews so that they could try to find Menachem Begin. They didn't really find him, but they did disrupt the Shabbat for everybody living in the Tel Aviv area. And Rabbi Cook wrote a letter on that day, and he said, there will come a time where they will say that that there was once a great British Empire. And Rabbi Cook kind of saw that as sealing their death. And that when a nation is not going to be nice to the Jewish people, then they're going to suffer. My daughter told me something, like, did I notice that on the same day that the United States decided not to put a veto in the UN for Israel, that the bridge that was named after the author of the Star Spangled Banner just fell into the ocean. I said, I never really thought about it that way. But there is a correlation between how a nation relates to God and when it starts to deteriorate. And the Jewish people are the representatives of God, and that their relationship with the Jewish people is their relationship with God. It doesn't matter that you print on your money in God we trust if you're going to not help the Jews when they need it. Haruach ha'leumi yuchal lekabel tum'a kamo ruach adam ha'prati. So Rabbi Cook is saying that a national spirit is susceptible to soul pollution, just like an individual is. Who yuchal lishov shi'ifot shfalot. An individual can actually be turned around, and instead of aspiring to God, he's going to aspire for all kinds of lowly concepts. Asher kafi rov kochol v'gadlo yigadlu arbe yuter leruah mishifot ra'ot shel anashim ra'im yechidim. And he's saying even more that because it's a nation and it aspires for bad, it's able to aspire for bad even more than an individual who aspires because it's an entire nation. So it has a lot of aspiring that it can do. Al kein, tahara tzarich hu haruach. Tahara b'makor hator shel ha'mayan Elohi. Spirit needs purification. And in order to turn and reverse this, it has to be purified in the divine wellspring. Kesha ma'asim im tovim, kesha amidot en sochot, zakot, Cholemeti ha'uma chalomot shel kedusha elyona v'sichla meir bor Elohim. Well, when things are hunky-dory, and when the nation is doing good deeds, and when the character traits of the nation are good character traits, then it has dreams of holiness, of lofty holiness, and its mind is enlightened with the light of God. But kesha'amasim niftachim, but when the deeds are a little below par, v'amidot mitachkrot, and the character traits are not perfect, az ha'shifot ha'lumiyot gam hein na'asot yerudot u'churot, then the national aspiration is no longer to build the Beit HaMikdash, but rather to build a stadium so that people can desecrate the Shabbat. U'memela gam chalashot. As a result, they're also going to be weakened because they don't have the superpower of the neshama of God. Ki en gvura shel emet, rak gvura shel malach, gvurat Elohim. The only source of real power is from God. And when you're denuded of that power, you're only going to have a little bit of energy. Now, till here, Rabbi Cook gave a general theorem that has to do with psychology and the neshama of nations. That, by the way, just began in Rabbi Cook's time. Until then, it wasn't recognized as a field of psychology that there even was such a thing as a psychology of nations and a neshama of nations, even though in Judaism, of course, we have this concept that there are 70 different souls for the 70 different nations, and each one has a distinct soul that depicts its unique speciality. Now, Rabbi Cook is saying that just like an individual can suffer from soul pollution, so a nation can suffer from soul pollution. All of this was a preamble to what Rabbi Cook is about to say here. And here, Rabbi Cook is going to apply this principle to the Jewish people and to secular Zionism. And he's going to say, okay, we have a theorem. Soul pollution can impact an individual negatively. Soul pollution can impact a nation negatively. What happens when soul pollution hits the Jewish people? Brit krutai l'knesset Yisrael kula shelo titame tum'a gmura. Well, we're not going to be Amalek. It's just not possible, by definition, for the Jewish people to destroy their essence to such an extent that we will be deserving of death and genocide and obliteration because we're just such an evil people. That cannot happen by definition. It could happen maybe to any other nation, and I can see some really strong candidates in our generation, but it's not going to happen to the Jewish people. Now, you shouldn't think that we're immune to soul pollution. It's going to impact us negatively also. Lasot bo pegamim, and it can cause the Jewish people imperfections. But what he can't do is to totally cut us off so that we have absolutely no relationship to God. That is not possible by definition. Ruach ha'umah she'nitorer achshav. Now here Rabbi Cook is getting more specific and explaining, well, how does secular Zionism fit in to these theorems? Ruach ha'umah she'nitorer achshav she'omrim rabim mimachzikav she'enam nizkakim l'ruach Elohim. Well, how is Rabbi Cook going to relate to secular Zionism that say specifically, we do not want God? We want to predicate a society outside of God. He said, well, if it would be possible, then they would design a culture of total impurity and total defilement. And they would have an entire culture predicated on defilement. Aval, but it's not possible. He says that they themselves don't realize the depth of what they are actually saying. The spirit of Israel is so intertwined and bound together with the spirit of God. It's so bound together to the extent that even someone who says that he doesn't want anything at all to do with God, because he says that he does want the true culture of Israel, the divine spark resides within his desire that the spirit of Israel be revived, because the spirit of Israel is God, and you just cannot get the two set apart. So the idea of secular Zionism, that they would very much like to rent asunder the Jewish people from God, by definition, it just can't be. And that it's a really, an interesting idea to predicate a whole culture on defilement, but it just is impossible. As long as you want the true Jewish culture or Israeli culture or the culture of the Jewish people to be part of this process. An individual can be affected and impacted by soul pollution to such an extent that he himself will be lost from the source of life. It's karet. We have 36 different things, sins that a person does. We have a blacklist. And that if you do these 36, you're cut off, and that's it. You can actually destroy and sever your connection with God. Lo kena umma. There is no such thing as a nation, the Jewish people, Knesset Yisrael kula, all of the Jewish people, that the whole nation of Israel will be deserving of kores, and that as a result, the Jewish people will be cut off from God. By definition, that's impossible. Al kein kol kinyanei shel ha'umah. For that reason, all of the acquisitions of the Jewish people, shem chavivim aleha mitzad ruach ha'leumi, that are dear to us from a cultural point of view, kulam ruach Elohim shoreba. All of them, the spirit of God is within them. Artsa. All of the secular Zionists that love the land of Israel, they love God because it's the promised land. It's the land that brings us close to God. And that when you love the land and you kiss the land and you work the land and you are involved in the land, that brings you to a heightened relationship with God. By definition, whether you like it or not, that's just what happens. Sfata, the language, the Hebrew language is the language that God created the world with. And that if a person loves the Hebrew language, then he loves God because it is the language of God. The Tanakh was originally written in Hebrew. The Chumash, the five books of Moses, the Ten Commandments. This is the language of God. So that if you love Hebrew, you love God. Toladita. I'll tell you an interesting story about that. I once I had a yeshiva that we would study on mainly in jeeps, but there were a few subjects that we would study in a synagogue. And then there were two rooms in the synagogue. The nice room was like the holy room in the synagogue. And then there was this ante room, which really wasn't holy with the holiness of the synagogue, where we would learn secular subjects. And then the question came up, well, how about Hebrew? Is Hebrew considered a secular subject, or is Hebrew considered a religious subject? And can we study Hebrew inside of the synagogue, or do we have to do it in this hallway where we study math and English? And without a doubt, it was considered a holy subject, and we learned the Hebrew language inside of the synagogue, because if you love the Hebrew language, you love God. Toladata. If you learn the history of the Jewish people, that in itself points to the fact that God is with us. That's the first commandment. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. And there is a verse in the Torah that says you have to learn history. Binu, shnot, dor, vador. You have to analyze history. So if you like the history of the Jewish people, then you like God. Minhagea, you like the laws and customs of the Jewish people. God resides within them as well. Let's suppose that there would be such a spirit that would want to predicate a culture on everything that belonged to the Jewish people except for God. What do the tzaddikim have to do? And here Rabbi Cook says, well, what should be the reaction of the tzaddikim to secular Zionism? Limrod beruach ha'uma? Should we rebel against the spirit of the nation? Afilu b'dibor? Should we talk badly about them? Limosit kinyana? Should we hate all of these things? Should we hate Israel, hate Hebrew, hate the history of, hate our minhagim? Zeh davar she'efshar, it's impossible. Ruach Hashem, Ruach Yisrael, echadu. The spirit of God and the spirit of the Jewish people are one and the same. And if you love God, you're going to love Hebrew. You're going to love Israel. You're going to love history. You're going to love all of the customs. The solution to secular Zionism is not leaving and abandoning Israel, abandoning Hebrew, abandoning history, abandoning all of the laws and customs of the Jewish people. The solution is embracing all of them and infusing them with light. Et or Elohim shebetoch kol eile, ad she kol ha-machzikim b'otan ha-machshavot shebaruach ha-klali u'b'kol kinyanav yimtzu et atzmam memela shehem omdim shkuim u'mushrashim v'chayim b'chay Elohim mizara mikdusha v'gvura shel mala. The only solution that can be offered is to embrace all of these magnificent acquisitions of the Jewish people and infuse them with light. And by infusing them with light, all who embrace them will embrace the light that you're infusing within them. And when people like Hebrew, you say, do you know that God created the world with Hebrew? Do you know the magnificence of the language and how it is so unbelievably deep? And in such a way, by infusing and embracing these acquisitions, it's possible to bring everybody to realize through these acquisitions the light of God. This is what Rav Kook believes, and this is what he did throughout his life. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer. And if not, we will stop at this point. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Shalom.